Now, in Matthew chapter 24, of course, a great chapter on prophecy and on the subject of the second coming of the Lord and the end of the world. Some years ago, looking at this chapter, I saw an outline, and I'm sure perhaps I've spoke on it here some years ago. But when the Lord Jesus answered the question, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, he said many things. And I summed them up like this. The Lord said, first of all, to his disciples and to us, don't be deceived. And that's there in verse 4. Take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived. And then secondly, don't be disturbed. Because he says there in verse number 6, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. And of course we live in the age of 24-hour news. You can get the news every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year. And it goes on and on. You can choose whatever channel you like. BBC, if you like, CNN, Fox News, whatever. The news is all around us, and this is what the Lord Jesus is referring to. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, how often we see a little banner down the bottom of our news channel, and it'll say something like, Reuters, the Reuters news agency is reporting. And that's a Greek word. And of course, it's even found there in that verse. But we're not to be deceived. We're not to be disturbed. And then, if you look at verse 12, which is our text, we could write over that, we're not to be disillusioned. The Bible says here that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You go down then through the chapter and you'll discover that we are not to be distracted. And he talks there about someone who is distracted and they're no longer a faithful and wise servant and they're taken up with other things. So we're not to be distracted. And then we read on, we're not to be disobedient. We are to be obedient, even in the light of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then go back to verse 12, and this is what I want to speak on this morning. A couple of weeks ago, the Reverend Ron Johnston, who is my pastor and minister there in Newton Orange, he was preaching on persecution. And as he came to the end of his sermon, there was a real hush. I sensed it. A real hush in our congregation. And he says, the dark clouds are gathering on our horizon. And I knew what he meant. I knew what he was saying. But for him to say it, because he's not a man given to sensationalism, it really spoke to my heart. Dark clouds, persecution. We are called everything. We are called everything. It's lovely. One thing about the Lord's Day, it's good to get alongside all the other dinosaurs, all the people that still believe the Bible and believe the word of the Lord. We're called dinosaurs. We're called bigots, we're called intolerant, we're called 100 things. And the Lord Jesus says here, he says, because iniquity shall abound. And here is the threat, here is the potential. The love of many shall wax cold. And so we can ask ourselves a question in the light of that scripture. I ask myself it. And you ask yourself it, how is our love today? You see, the Lord Jesus said that deceivers will come, verse 4. Deceivers will come. And there's many deceivers today. There's many who will stand, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and preach what is contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ's own word. They're deceivers. And then we're told that there will be great calamities in the earth. Verse 6 and 7, rumors of wars, and nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. And then he talks about persecution. Verse 9, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And because the Lord Jesus says there will be this abounding lawlessness, it's sometimes translated, or evil, or here in the King James, it is the iniquity that shall abound. Because of that, now here's a warning. He says, the love of many shall wax cold. You see, what is out there can affect what is in here. You see, I see in these verses, I see a prophecy. The Savior said, iniquity shall abound. I see a problem. The love of many shall wax cold. But then I see a proof. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so I ask you this morning, how is your love? How is my love today? My love for the Lord. My love for the Bible. My love for the church. My love for the cause of Jesus Christ. My love for the missionary work. How is my love this morning? Because listen, and the Savior said it, and you can mark it here in your Bible. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, you remember that scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Great scripture. We read there, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And I know from that scripture, and I know from personal experience, that I would have no love for God and no knowledge of God at all if it were not for the fact that he first loved me. But lay hold, believer, this morning on this fact. And that's why we sang that great hymn, Loved with Everlasting Love. We love him because he first loved us. But listen, his love for me is everlasting. His love for me is unconditional. Now, we're looking for a blessed time today. If we live in the will of God to see tomorrow, and Monday morning comes round again and all that means, well, guess what? The Lord, if you're a believer trusting Christ, the Lord will love you tomorrow just as he loves you today. And perhaps, and it ought to be, of course, perhaps we are more conscious of God's love on the Lord's Day. We're together, we're hearing the word, we're meditating on the Psalms and on the paraphrases and on the hymns and on the precious word of God. We're talking the one to the other. We're thinking upon the things of the Lord. This is why the Lord gave us this day. But the Lord loves you on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday, on a Saturday, just as he loves you on the Lord's Day. We love him because he first loved us. He loves us unconditionally. The Lord loves you when you're at a wedding, family wedding, enjoying that day, but the Lord loves you if you're at a funeral. The Lord loves you if you're walking hale and hearty down the street with the dog. But he loves you if you're lying in a hospital bed. And get this, the Lord loves you when you're true to him. And the Lord loves you when you fail. The Lord loves you when you fail. And how wonderful to know this mighty, everlasting, unconditional. And the love that God has for me is constant. Constant. Sometimes, let's be honest, or the temperature of our love can rise in relation to certain circumstances, and it can fall. A couple of years ago, got one of these little things that you stick on your window, on the outside of your window, but you can read it on the inside, and it tells you what the temperature is outside. And it was a great wee thing. When you're a postman, you like to know what the temperature is going to be and whether it's going to rain or whether it's going to be dry. But the people that cleaned my windows kept taking it off, and now it doesn't stick on anything. And I don't even know where it is anymore. But just like the temperature, well, the temperature can rise, the temperature can fall, and that can be like our love. But not God's. God's love is constant. Never alters, never changes. Why? Because we're in Christ. And that's the reason. Because we're in Christ. In Christ Jesus, the Lord loves us with an everlasting love. The Lord loves us with an unconditional love. The Lord loves us with a constant love. His love never fails. Mine does. His never. Oh, are you conscious today of the love of God? But again, let's get back to this text. There's a threat here. There's a potential here that because iniquity shall abound, my love could wax cold. You know, you read 1 Corinthians 13 and you'll discover the importance of love. It's translated charity. And though we have a lot of things and not God's love shed abroad in our hearts, we have nothing. And so the question we're asking this morning, and we want an answer, and I believe the answer is in the little book of Jude. How can we, to the best of our ability, ensure that our love will not wax cold? It'll not wax cold. I don't want my love to wax cold. By God's grace, I want to stay faithful, loving God and in the love of God until my last breath, whenever that might be. And there are many scriptures, but this verse is a lovely verse. Now let's go to Jude. And here's the answer. Here's the answer. Verse 21 of Jude. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the conscious enjoyment of the love of God. See, a true believer can never leave the love of God, but we can wax cold. We can lose the consciousness. We can lose the assurance. We can lose the joy of knowing that God loves us and that we love God. Now, again, a few years ago, I thought I had a brilliant sermon on verses 20 and 21. Because I saw there four things. Verse 20, building up yourselves. Then I saw praying. And then I saw keeping. And then I saw looking. Do you see those four things? Building, praying, keeping, looking. And I thought that was a great outline. And I have spoken that. Now, it's not a bad outline, I don't think. But Dr. Ron Johnston, my pastor, he put me right on something. See, I'm only a postman. I can only speak two languages, English and Ulster Scots. I don't know Hebrew and I don't know Greek. But the word keeping is not there. Did you notice that? It doesn't say keeping. It says building. It says praying. And it says looking. But it doesn't say keeping. Mr. Johnson pointed that out to me. Now you may say, well, what's the difference? Well, this is the point. The main thrust of verses 20 and 21 is keep yourselves in the love of God. That's what Jude is saying. That's what that's all about. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And so we ask the question, how? Do you remember? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. How can we prevent that from happening? How can we keep ourselves in the love of God? And that's what is answered here. And let's look at it very quickly. Number one, here's how you keep yourself in the love of God. Now, by the way, let me say this. I was thinking this on the way up. Right now is where the devil comes in. Because the devil, he wants us always to take us from the truth of Scripture. And right now the devil can come in and he can lead us up some mystical pathway. You know, like sometimes you hear people on the radio and they're not saved, they're not evangelical, they don't believe the Bible, but they'll say something like, I'm very close to God when I'm down at the bottom of the garden looking at my daffodils. Now, daffodils are lovely. Personally, I would feel closer to God if I was down the bottom of my garden looking at my orange lilies, but flowers are wonderful evidence of God's creation, but that's not what brings us to God. And so the devil can come in now and take us down some mystical pathway which leads to a lot of nonsense. It's not so. Look at it. Here's how you and I can keep ourselves in the love of God to the very end. Number one, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. There it is. Get to know your faith. Get to know the faith. Keep in the word. I would encourage every Christian, I would encourage every Free Presbyterian Christian, start with a shorter catechism and go right through it. Take a question a day. Look up the scripture proofs. Then go to the larger catechism. And again, go through it every day. And then go to the Westminster Confession of Faith. Because there is set out, those documents are not Bible, they're not inspired, but they set out for us the teaching of the whole counsel of God. And this is how you keep yourself in the love of God. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Get to know the key texts that prove the Bible's the inspired word of God. Get to know the key texts that prove Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Get to know the key texts that prove that the gospel, the salvation we preach in the gospel, is by faith alone, as Luther discovered. Get to know the key texts that teach assurance of salvation. Get to know your most holy faith. Build up yourself upon it. The truths of God's word, But then secondly, this is how you keep yourself in the love of God. Praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And you know, it's evident, isn't it, that comes second. You see, reading the Bible, meditating upon the Bible, learning the faith, learning what we believe, learning and seeing it set out from Genesis to Revelation, what a help that is when we come to pray. Praying. Notice praying in the Holy Ghost, because who gave us the Bible? The Holy Ghost. Who helps us understand the Bible? The Holy Ghost. And therefore, who can help us pray according to the Word? The Holy Ghost. Do you want to keep yourself in the love of God? Build up yourself in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. You know, every Christian should have a secret life. But not in a sinful sense. Because if we sin secretly, well, the Lord knows all about it. But we should have a secret life in this sense. The Lord Jesus said, when you pray, go into your chamber and shut the door and pray in secret to your heavenly Father who seeth in secret. And how good it is to get alone with God. And if you haven't already done it, Christian, start this very day. And you have a time, the best time for you. And you get alone, and you get your Bible, and you start, and you start, and you say, for the rest of my life, every day at this time, God helping me, I'm going to meet with God. And pray to the Lord. You know what is a great test of spiritual maturity, and I'm not claiming I've reached it yet, but a great test of spiritual maturity is this, that you've got to the place where you solve every single problem in your life by bringing it to God in prayer. And before you lift the phone to talk to anybody else, you talk to God. You talk to God. Like the Keen in the scripture, you spread it out before the Lord. He spread the letter before the Lord. And whatever problem, difficulty, trial you have, doubt you have, issue you have, spread it out before Him. Now, the Lord knows all about it, but He wants us to come. He's our Heavenly Father, and He wants us to come before Him and bring this before Him and pray over it and pray about it and pray through. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Secondly, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, it must be a terrible sign that love has gone out of a relationship, of the two people in that relationship never speak to one another. I was in the post office van yesterday, and I had Radio Ulster on, and they were interviewing a wee man from Cookstown, and they were asking him, what was it like growing up in Cookstown? Oh, he says there were great characters. He says there was a man, we called him Big Robert. When I was a wee boy, Big Robert, and when I was a wee boy, he looked 8 foot. He probably wasn't 8 foot, but he was a massive big man. And he says the thing was, he married a wee tiny woman. She was about 3 foot something. She was a wee tiny woman. And he was a real character. And he says he had such a big stride. He would march up the main street, Cookstown, and wouldn't wait for her. And she was running like me to catch up. But here's what he said, and I laughed. He says, you know, when they had a wee bit of a tiff, he used to lift her and put her on top of the wardrobe until she calmed down. Well, we need to keep short accounts with God. We need to keep this relationship with God. We need to keep talking to God, praying to God. And that's how we keep ourselves in the love of God. And that's how we can prevent this from happening in Matthew 24, that the love of many shall wax cold. But then look at the third one, verse 21. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? You build up yourself in your most holy faith. Notice it's not, it's building. It's a continuous thing. Nobody reaches the stage in this Christian life as regards the faith where you know everything. We're always learning something. Then we pray in the Holy Ghost. We talk to God about everything. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And then thirdly, we look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We have that anticipation of the glory that is to come, whether it be at death or whether it be at the second coming of Christ. I love the doctrine of the Lord's return. Many's a time, but I'm sitting listening to all these enemies of God who have come and risen up in our day, and they're battering down the truths of God, and they're telling us to go away and shut up and burn the Bible and get rid of the Bible and get rid of this Bible-believing Christianity. Well, I rejoice in this fact. God will have the last word. Jesus is coming. Sing the glad song. Jesus is coming again. And so every day we're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That every day this is not our home. We remind ourselves of that. And this is not our time of rest. There's work to be done. One day we will enter into that eternal rest. And this is not the time when we'll be surrounded by brothers and sisters who share the same precious love of the gospel. This is a day when there's enemies. This is a day when your neighbor maybe has no time for you because you're a Christian, or somebody you work with doesn't like what you believe. This is a time when you'll read in the newspaper that you're a dinosaur. But you're looking for that day when all God's people get home. How do you keep yourself in the conscious enjoyment of the love of God? You be constantly building up yourself on your most holy faith. You be constantly praying in the Holy Ghost, and you constantly be looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves. Remember, the Savior said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But Jude gives us the answer. Keep yourself in the love of God. May we all today and tomorrow and every day till Jesus comes or calls, may we all enjoy the conscious enjoyment of God's love shed abroad in our hearts. God's love for me, everlasting, unconditional, constant. But may I live personally, and may we all live personally, in the enjoyment of God's love.